I'd like to call the January 14th, 2025 Jerusalem Township Board of Trustees meeting to order. I'd like to request a moment of silence and set the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call.
Bill Miller.
Present.
Dave Bench.
Present.
Alex Litton.
Present.
Roll call complete.
Okay, so you're going to have to walk me through the approval of meeting minutes. I make a motion to approve the meeting minutes. Is that correct?
You asked for.
Okay. You're seeking.
You're seeking a motion.
Okay, well, so I'm seeking a motion to approve both the, do we want to do them separately?
You better do them separately.
A motion to approve the December 10th, 2024 meeting minutes.
I still move.
I can second that.
Okay.
So Dave Bench made the motion. Bill Miller second. Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bill Miller.
Yes.
Alex Litton.
Yes.
Meeting minutes approved.
I'd like to seek a motion to approve the January 3rd, 2025 meeting minutes.
I can second that. I'll second it. I make the motion.
Dave Bench made the motion.
And I can second that.
Bill Miller second in. Roll call, Alex Litton.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bill Miller.
Yes.
Meeting minutes approved. Make sure you sign them for me.
Yep.
Thank you.
Officer's report whenever you're ready.
Do we all have the reports in front of us? Fund status $676,588.33. Is that right? Probably. $853,964.37 in checking. Payments to approve warrant numbers 23353 through 23379, and that totals $64,311.13. And the deposits made since the last meeting is totaling $12,435.37. Questions.
Did you read that right? What's it?
Yeah, we're
6,000.
Yep, 676.
I thought the cents were wrong.
Oh, hold on. 676623.96.
Oh, yeah, I thought you said
93. I think I questioned myself. You okay? Did I get the other one right?
You got the second one.
Ooh. Thank you for the.
I move to approve the fiscal report as read.
I'll second.
Okay, so motion, Bill Miller, second Alex Litton. Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bill Miller.
Yes.
Alex Litton.
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, zoning department. Wendy's not here, so probably have a zoning report at our next meeting. Recreation department, I didn't get anything from Gary, did you guys?
Nope.
Nothing there. All right.
I did notify him. Sorry, it's not my meeting, but I did remind him about the change in the prices. I don't know if you did also.
Oh, yeah. I got him on the website. He had to adjust. I think there was a form he put together. He'll probably have to adjust that, but the website should be updated.
Cool.
Okay. Fire department.
Good evening, everyone. We're at 107, or we're at 7 runs so far this year. And one of them was a domestic incident, and just making the trustees aware that we were staged away from the scene for 38 minutes before law enforcement arrived. So nothing we can do about that. Fortunately, it wasn't too awful serious for the patient. We did not end up transporting, but nevertheless, 38 minutes of waiting for law enforcement in a situation like that is
even the,
not very good.
Even
there
the
was no Metro Park available and or ODNR. So it was two officers coming from the west side. And I don't know if they were going code 3 or code 2. I don't know what they were doing. That's what it was. So I just wanted to share that with you. Previously, I'd mentioned to you guys about the WENS alert is going away, and I have this, I can share this to you guys. That's the Everbridge. There's a link in there, and you can talk to, give Andy Bischoff a call on there, but there's some basic information in there, so that's for you guys. One of the things we're preparing for in the fire department is the possibility of ice rescues. And we have three trainers that are qualified or certified to train surface ice rescue class. So we are going to host a class this year and offer it to other departments. So just something to be proud of that we'll be doing that coming up. We got our Davis Bessie training figured out. So March 12th is going to be a training. April 16th will be the dry run. And I think May 18th. Is the FEMA graded program. So I don't know when you trustees will have to go to your training, you know, down to the EOC or not, but just letting you know that. I am seeking another price, but we may not get it till spring, on the potential roof repairs again. From another contractor, a local contractor, so a commercial contractor. But other than that, I just wanted you guys to be aware of, you know, some of the normal contracted services that you'll see and that you've approved over and over again, continues. You can keep that. I got it. You know, we have to do annual pump testing, hose testing, ladder testing, SCBA testing. Our breathing air compressor gets serviced per a contract. And Marine 33 has all been, maintenance is all done on that, so the boat come spring is all good to go. But just giving you an idea of some of the contracted services, as well as the, you know, dispatching and all that other stuff.
Yes, sir. Just real quick, Joel, I know he don't have those numbers right in front of him, like on what them are going to cost, some of them. Do you need POs for them? Is that how you want to do that? So we... I know we had a little stumbling issue last year over this, and I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page and how you want to handle it. Because
if it's over $3,000, you need to seek approval.
I bring it to you for approval.
Yeah, right? So if it's under, which some of that stuff usually is, I don't know.
I just know some of that stuff gets kind of pricey, yeah. And you want to get it to us before you do
as,
it.
As soon as I can, I will get you the...
No, 911 I'm interested in. Since it came up, I'd like to see what... I can email them and see what our fee is, because we pay ahead for this year, so this year's already paid for right at the tail end of last year. So I'm really curious to see what it's going to be, what we pay this year for, you know, next year.
Okay, yeah, I don't know.
That's going to be...
If they mention it at our chief's meeting, or if they share in the archive meeting, you know, I will definitely bring that forth.
Yeah.
But there's another charge. It's like it's under $150. I don't know what that charge is. But it's ARCOG again, so.
Well, they're charging us for WENS. The WENS. The
one okay, that maybe that's what that charge
yeah,
is.
Yeah, they have a separate bill for that. And then they have a charge for just existing as the EMA. Like, here's your portion of paying for Lucas County EMA. But that doesn't come from 911 regional COG or whatever.
Okay. So, anyways, but... yes, anything over $3,000, regardless of what it is, it will be brought to your attention. Obviously, if there is an emergency, you know, one or all of you will be notified of, hey, we've got an unusual event, and I'll inform the fiscal officer too that, hey, we've got a real emergency, we've got to deal with this right now. So, but hopefully, we still get 30 days to pay for it and everything. So, the last thing that I really have is I have two more. Applicants that I would like to approve pending their background check and physicals. Keegan Murray is already a volunteer firefighter, so he's got his firefighter training. He was with Harris Elmore and served with his dad for about a few years, and now he moved into Oregon. He works at ProMedica. He's a Central Tech of some sort. And then we have Emily Ashley. She's a college student. She works in the community. She works down at the High Flash, and seems like a real bright person. A lot of the guys know her and stuff, but she has a desire to join. And they both live close to each other up near, up in Oregon. And I'm hearing that other Oregon previous firefighters may be applying with us too as well. But if they do, they've already have their EMT and or fire card. So we'll see. But because Oregon's situation, they are not using so-called volunteers anymore. They're not hiring anymore. It's all part-time or part-time and or full-time employees. So for those people that still want to serve, we're the only option in town for them.
That's great, isn't it?
So I'd like to give these guys a try.
Wait here, take it. No,
I don't believe we have to, we have enough turnout gear, so I don't believe we'll be purchasing anything as far as that. That's, that would probably be our bigger expense, but the Keegan is looking for an EMT class, so we'd want to get him in to one of those, and then Emily's open to both of them, and we're still waiting to see if we can get accredited and host our own fire class here. I thought that was nailed down, but evidently he's waiting for a confirmation from Bowling Green. Maybe you can talk to University of Toledo and they can credit us.
Did you get a chance to look at the ocean?
I think Emily works at Subway.
Yeah.
She's like Zach's age. She's like.
Yep.
Very nice person. Maybe too nice for the fire department.
Yeah, it could be.
Like, have you been around those people?
Thank you. Okay, so I make the motion, right?
If you
want. So I'd like. Yeah, I do. So I'd like to make a motion to approve, I guess, to be hiring pending background and physical.
Yeah.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. All right, so I'd like to make a motion to approve. Emily Ashley and Keegan Murray, to approve hiring them pending a background and physical.
I second it.
Dave Bench, second. Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Alex Linton.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you very much, trustees. Do you have any questions for me?
Yeah, I do have one more question.
Sure.
About that the domestic incident that took a delay in police arriving. So that 38 minutes, is that the time the call comes in before the police show up, or is that when you guys are kind of like staged on scene before they show up?
It is. It did begin from the time of the call, because law enforcement got the call before EMS did. So law enforcement receives the call, they transfer it to EMS, suggesting that they need EMS, you know, response.
Gotcha.
Now, we respond on a code 2 response. Per the dispatch, they tell us that, you know, code 2. So we just drive normal traffic, and then we stage away from the scene.
Gotcha.
You know.
Do you happen to know what time of day that was?
Well, it was in the evening. I could look it up and tell you, but it was in the evening.
Yeah, you can look it up, tell me later.
Yeah, that's fine. I can do that.
Well, aside from that, that's all I got.
The only other thing, on the news tonight, you heard that, you would have possibly heard that Toledo Fire Union has purchased Pulse Point, which is a notification system that was available to the public, but it's only good for Toledo. So it will not be, you know, we can't use it to see anything for us or anything. But the other chiefs are all waiting to see if Pulse Point's going to come up with a deal. And then if we do at this point, I may approach approval of purchasing that app, but we'll cross that bridge when it is. I just didn't want you to be confused. We had Pulse Point when the county was paying for it. County no longer is paying for it and is willing to, but the Toledo Union, Firefighters Union, and they're paying like $10,000 for this thing. And then they're hoping to negotiate with City of Toledo to get them to pay for it. But we'll see what that happens.
Seems like a trending thing. The county just ain't paying for nothing.
Oh, yeah. They just, much, yeah. Yeah. Just get out of everything, and maybe they just ran hold of money. I don't know. I shouldn't have said that probably, but...
Oh. Well, you should have seen the nice note I left on my check when I wrote my property taxes today. About a bunch of thieving, you know what, in the memo line.
You need to get a notice of it, something.
Whatever.
I'm sure
was,
that...
Was your amount less than previous amount?
No. No.
Not really.
No.
I mean, failed levies didn't have any effect.
All right. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Kevin?
Very little other than, obviously, a couple snow events. Pretty much, we've been able to scrape a little bit, but they primarily, the way they've been, they've primarily been salt events. We're scraping what we can. To date, including what we did on other roads, we're up to about 23 ton that we've used, which is very minimal this time of year already. But no breakdowns, no major flaws of any kind that I can think of right offhand. Still having a little bit of an issue with the new truck. We're looking hopefully yet this week or next week to hopefully get that fixed. Just starting our winter maintenance on our mowers and all that kind of stuff right now, in between the snows and whatever else.
Kevin, I know that we got this last snow event we had here was a little bit of a kind of thrown in our lap with the roads because they grind them and then they said, yeah, we got this notification, you know, they're your roads now. Are you guys going to maybe review how and what roads you start with? Now that we're getting roads that are more heavily trafficked than, say, down in Reno right off the bat, are you going to try and, and I'm saying this mostly for the fire department's sake.
Well, the fire department, doesn't matter what road we're on, right, as long as I get the notification, one of us two are going to go to that road or head in that direction, or if we're in a big snow event, we always like to try to meet them here. It doesn't work out that way, but we'll meet them in progress and they can follow us.
But even like the guys responding, we're going to try and get some of the more heavily traveled roads.
See, the problem is just getting this area over here worked in, because it's completely backwards for both of us on how we normally would start.
Right.
So I think I got this area all covered. I'm working down Corduroy Road and stuff. So it's just going to take a little bit, as long as we're both running the big trucks. Unless it's a big snow with a lot of wind, we should be able to keep up with it to an extent. If we start getting a big wind, unfortunately, most of the roads they give us drift very badly, so it's going to take some time. Might have to just commit one truck to those roads that we know that we have to get up and down. And the other one would just try to cover everything else. But yeah, we were looking at it, and I just got to draw something up on where, like, the Eric would start in that direction and where I'm going to start here. If I'm going to go that way and work this way, or go that way and work across, however. Yep, okay. Just take some rerouting. And today, running around, just goofing around through this thing we had here, and what I did today actually seemed to work out pretty good as far as time, and there wasn't a lot of back and forth or nothing like that. So, but other than that, that's it for the moment.
I'm sure glad you kept the other big truck, because now I need both of them.
All right, well, thank you, Kevin. Yeah. Food pantry. Nobody here from the food pantry, so on to old business. Got the annual Township Highway System Mileage Certification.
Hot topic. Hot topic.
Sounds like we're going to fire a truck.
So I know, I'm sure Dave has been having phone calls and he's got some stuff to report on. So we talked about this a little bit just in conversation here before the meeting started, but I just want to make sure we have this on record here. So I had reached out on three or four calls into Paducah, no response. Took me two to get a hold of Anita Lopez, and I've got a call into Sobecki with no response from her. I did reach out to that Aaron Schwach, who is the gentleman down in Lucas County, or not Lucas County, Columbus, that works for ODOT. He's the one that road mileage goes to. And we had a pretty good conversation. He told me a lot. I learned a lot with him. Number one, we're never stuck with these roads forever if we can get a new commissioners that are willing to work with these townships. So this isn't something we're going to have forever, possibly. And then he did send me the resolution that was passed in December 12th of 2023, which then were the roads in question, the seven extra miles.
Yeah, that we got.
That wasn't that much. And all three trustees at the time voted yes, which were then Gerken, Skeldon, Wozniak, and Sobecki. The one thing that he did point out to me today was the budget impact. Non-applicable. Isn't going to affect their budget that they got rid of all these roads. So somehow the roads weren't costing them anything. It's not going to affect their budget that we're getting them. So, in between all these conversations, I had a conversation with Jeffrey Stopar today, a quick conversation to see what his thoughts were on this, and he is doing a little bit of research on it. I did end up getting this information to him on this resolution. He does state that if you read in here, they give us the Ohio Revised Codes and the Attorney General's opinion on it. And so he's going to do a little bit of research. He's not going to spend a ton of time on it, but he's going to do a little bit and see if there's anything that he can catch in there. But he was the same way. The budget impact that was there that he caught right off the bat was they're saying this is impacting their budget.
Well, so, it's going to take away some gas tax and also the license tax they'll lose. So it is a little bit.
But that's peanuts.
Oh, yeah. And that's all we're getting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Anita did text me late this afternoon and said that she had touched base with Sobecki. She is setting up a meeting between Jerusalem Township and Mike. So, we'll see where that goes with it. But yeah. I don't think the county wants to hear from me anymore, especially poor Allen.
I talked to Lisa the last couple of days, and we were trying to set up dates that we could get together with her and Mike Panuski. I talked to Mike today, and I'm not quite sure if we have a date set yet, but it's coming close. Within the next week and a half, we'll have a meeting. So they've all talked to me. I don't know why, but they do. I didn't call. What's her name? Lopez. But you were going to call her, so I called Lisa, and I got a hold of Mike, and so there is a meeting planned, but I can't tell you when or what day or whatever, you know. So it's in the works. I'm surprised she didn't say something to you that there was something in the works.
Well, she just said that Lisa was trying to get one set with us. So.
That's between for the meeting minutes. The engineer's office, and who's Lisa?
Sobecki,
she's a commissioner.
Okay.
So, you know, this is a very unfortunate situation with the county doing what they're doing to us. And I do want, you know, hopefully the residents of the township understand that, you know, these roads aren't going to get plowed as fast as they used to or maybe as good as they used to. We're going to do our best, but...
Oh, we will. We'll do a good job.
They added a lot of roads. I know they're going to do their best to keep up with them, but they added a lot of roads to us, and that's going to take time, and it's going to take, especially like Kevin said, if we get a big wind event with some snow, you know, they got to sleep at some point, you know, and they, you know, it's just a,
I think when I started here in 99, I think we had 19 miles a road. Now we're over 30.
Yeah, it stayed that way quite a while, at 19.
It's going to be quite a devastating to us as far as finances and anything down the road.
I mean, then you look at road mowing. I mean, what you just added for road mowing.
You're going to have to put somebody in a mower pretty much most of the year.
Yeah.
I don't
think we're going to get rid of these right away, but I'm going to work my damnedest to get Cedar Point Road. It's not brought up to standards. I measured it. It's 3 to 4 feet narrower at the decant end down there. So I think I got him there. And I told Sobecki that too. We shouldn't have to take that road until it's brought up to standards. And it's not up to standard. And especially because it's Maumee Bay is right there, and that road gets used an awful lot for Maumee Bay, even down to DeGant Road. So that's what I'm really working on, is that we don't get that. And I've been working on a grant. We've gotten a couple of grants like that already for Bono Road and that other short road over there. So I was hoping that we could get that grant and bring that up, and the county's kind of working on that too, so we can bring that up to standard. So if we have to take it, at least it's brought up to standard. And we got to check some of these other roads too on, you know, if are they bermed, stuff like that. So we got to...
Well, just like Lion, that's got 2 coats of tar and chip on it. That's ready for a regrind and repave. And that, you know, they're...
Oh, this is going to show up in 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
What we're getting, we won't see it, but in 10 years, this is going to be a mess. We're going to have to ask for more money for the township to do the, what is it, asphalt's what, 300,000 a mile?
300,000 a mile, and tar and chip's 30,000 a mile.
Yeah.
That's in today's price.
Today's price. Just figure 10 more years.
With one estimate, I got a second estimate coming in, but I don't look for it to change much.
I just wanted to share one observation is, I know our guys are out there plowing, but by the time the county gets here, on the major county roads, they're way delayed, and then they're not here very long, and then they're gone.
Yeah.
I don't think that's really fair either, because at best we're getting one truck for how many county miles is there that they're responsible for, and only one truck is hitting this area. I get it, we're a less populated area. I understand that, but it doesn't make it any less for us for responding to emergencies.
The one thing Jeffrey Stopar did mention that he was going to, because he hadn't heard of this at any of the other counties or townships out west, but he had contacts, he was going to reach out and see if there were any, how many roads they were getting and like what, how it was affecting them out there, because this was the first he heard of it. And the gentleman at ODOT also said that this, they don't see this that often where the counties are pushing roads off onto townships. So
I talked to Springfield. Springfield didn't get any, but he mentioned that the outer lane one, townships have gotten some, I guess. I talked to Tom Anderson. He's on the Springfield board, so he knows a few of those outlying people too out there, and he said that they got a few. But he didn't know how many miles or anything. But
the only other things I could point out on this, since it's not really my area of expertise, so that opinion from the Attorney General, mm-hmm. that's from 82. We could maybe look into getting a revised opinion, or having the current Attorney General look at that opinion, maybe give us a different one. Mm-hmm. Any one of us can reach out to the Attorney General and ask for a review of that. Yeah. So if that's something you'd want to do now or think about it, I'd be happy to tackle that. Also, this would be another great item to sort of pitch to Ohio Township Association, because they have that omnibus bill that they come up with ideas from different townships and things they want to pass at the state level. And they push a new omnibus bill through every year.
We did that already, checked with Kevin did.
Oh, okay. So they're already aware of it. And
it's all written down there, and I got the same paper there.
Yeah, as soon as they give us the money, the county will want them back, and they'll want the money. So,
well, I was thinking more in terms of getting the OTA to sort of lobby on our behalf to change Ohio law to not be able to dump these roads off right. on us.
I think
but you guys have been through that.
Otarma said one time if we could get everybody together. And I've tried that when we go to the Township Association meetings. Nobody gives a shit. You know, most of them got enough money. And the other ones that don't have the money, I don't know, they just don't care. Yeah. They won't get together as a unit to push this. That's our whole trouble
gotcha.
Right there.
Gotcha.
I just can't believe the count. I mean, I know it's saying it in the Ohio Revised Code, but this is no different than a case of blight. Somebody calls in a bunch of crap to their yard and they leave it, and then somebody's got to clean it up, and that's what they're doing to us. They built these roads, they maintained them for years, and all of a sudden they're like, here you go, they're yours. Well, I don't know.
There's so many more things to pay for. You know, the county has to pay for it, and they're just looking for things they can get rid of.
Yeah. I mean, we got the 911 dispatching. What else do we get?
Yeah, which we pay three times as much as what
Three
times.
Yeah, the dispatching, you got no sheriff.
Right.
Now you're getting an unforeseen financial burden on you.
Right.
And I don't believe it's going to take 10 years. I bet you within 5 years, if something seriously doesn't happen.
Your roads are going to, the roads in the township are not going to look the way they are. They are going to be
Michigan
probably not
roads.
Lined.
Michigan roads.
Not going to be lined. They're not, you're not going to spend the money to stripe them. They're going to look like, they're going to look like Offerland Road.
Yeah, Allen Township roads.
Yep, that's exactly what they're going to look like.
And
in the meantime,
they're still taxing us on
And they're still taxing on it.
Yep.
Is there any way that the residents or the township could start a class action suit, go after them for the money we're being charged for this?
That's the first thing I'm trying to figure out, is where are they funding these roads from? Because I know that the state mileage, the money they get from the state, the money they get from the gas, and the money they get from the plates is not enough. Doesn't even come close to touching these roads. So where is the rest of the money, where has it been coming from for 80 years?
Where is it going to?
Yeah, where did that money come from to take care of these roads all these years?
Yeah.
And now, so the money was coming from somewhere. And that's what I'm trying to get an answer from the commissioners on. Where was the money coming from and where is that money going now?
New jail.
No. So...
That is such a joke, because how many years they've been talking about this thing, and they still haven't even did a shovel yet.
So I think that, Alex, on the Attorney General comment, if you maybe give us a couple weeks, and let's see what Stovar comes back with.
Yeah.
And that might be a very good question to ask him, if it would be, what his thoughts are on that. Like,
worthwhile to resubmit the question.
Yeah. Yeah, what's it gonna take, and how. So
just because we pursued this stuff at other times, just like what I did 2-3 years ago, doesn't mean that we shouldn't go back and try it again. Something could have changed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Somebody found another loophole.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous on the little loophole that they found.
And I still don't get it, because I thought it was a state, if it started on a state route.
Yep.
So then they gave us Main Street and Bowen right off the rip.
Yep.
Now we got Lyon.
We got Wheeler.
Oh, and Wheeler, yeah, that crosses a state route.
What about Arquette, though?
Well, see, the way that I read it was anything that started or ended in a county or state road was a county road.
County road. Mm-hmm.
Or anything that was inter-county from one county to another is a county road. Well, then that would be Martin Williston, Short Road, which those roads aren't nothing. But it just shows you the example of what that says and how they interpreted it differently, that they could just shove them off.
Right. And basically the way I read it today, which that's the biggest thing why I called Jeff, was I'm not a lawyer, so you got to think like that when you're reading that stuff, was you read this, like these resolutions, and basically this is at the recommendation of Mike. This is a recommendation of the engineer to say
they just do what.
Yeah, and they vote on it, and they vote on it. They're like, yeah, we're good.
They don't even think about it.
No, they just vote on it.
Yeah.
So they don't understand the the consequences of what it's going to do to these townships and these small villages and stuff. So I'm done talking about roads. I've had enough.
We won't. We're not going to sign that certification paper.
Oh, absolutely not. And that was the other thing on that certification. Yeah. I absolutely refuse to sign it. 100%. I will not sign that certificate. But it does say by default, based on the best information available, they're going to certify the road. Well, they can certify the roads, but it sure ain't going to have my signature.
I'm not going to sign it down either.
So.
While we're on that old business, is there any thing on the road levy?
What's on the agenda item?
Yep, next item. Road and bridge levy, and then rec levy after that.
Okay. I just wondered, anything going on? Oh yeah, well, I guess we're going to do it.
Which one is which here?
So we all have, they're both similar looking. Just read it at the top. It says road repairs in bold. And the other one will say recreation purposes. So we're on number two on your agenda.
Well, I don't have it on there. I put it on myself. Oh. Did they change or what? Oh, I got the old, okay, there's an updated one, okay.
Yep. So this is the second, it's the second resolution to the Board of Elections. In between all these pieces of paper is going to be your auditor certification. So Bo, that'll help you with your marketing purposes.
Yes.
Tells you before, yeah, you'll see it there, like bullet point number four, whatever for them. Anyways. Okay, so that's the auditor certification. Then behind that is the original first resolution. So after this resolution is approved, if you guys approve it, then it's going to go to the Board of Elections for them to have at their next Board of Elections meeting, which they'll have before the deadline, which is February 5th. So that means, yeah, assuming this is good, which I did have John Burrell look over both resolutions to make sure it's like he did with the first one. So we will see. We don't have any wiggle room, so if they are kicked back by the Board of Elections, we're going to have to try to work with them. Okay. Any questions on what I just said?
Nope.
Any questions on the auditor certifications?
No. So good. You want to go with what's our resolution number?
So it's
Joel?
Today's date dash 00.
So 01-14-2025-00.
Yep.
And then it'll be 01.
Yep.
Okay.
And I don't know if you want me just to speed read through this if you'd like. Or do you, Alex, it's your, well, I don't know who's making the motion. I don't know.
Have at it. You want me to go ahead?
Sure.
So I'm going to go ahead and this is a resolution to place on the ballot the renewal of an existing tax with an increase in excess of the 10 mil limitation for road repairs and maintenance in Jerusalem Township. The Jerusalem Township board met 7 p.m. on a regular meeting on January 14th with Eric Litton, Dave Benjamin, Bo Miller present. Trustee, and I'll make the motion, Bo Miller moved to adopt the following resolution. I'll read the first section here, Joel. Whereas the Jerusalem Township Board of Trustees have received the certification from the Lucas County Auditor pursuant to Revised Code 5705.03, the amount of taxes which may be raised within the 10 mil limitation will be insufficient to provide an adequate amount for the necessary requirements for Jerusalem Township, Ohio. Therefore, it be resolved by the Board of Trustees, Jerusalem Township. The go down to section two here. The levy is at a rate of 1 mil's renewal with a 2 mil increase for a total of 3 mil's for each $1 of taxable value, which amounts to $90 per 100,000 for the county auditor's appraised values for a 5-year period of time, and is a renewal of an existing tax first voted on in 2020 with an increase. Is that good enough for you, Joel?
Sure. You go to the second page.
We may do the...
I'll do section four.
Section four, the renewal of the existing levy with an increase will be placed upon the 2025 tax list first due in calendar year 2026 in compliance with the Ohio Revised Code, section 5705.19G. The property tax revenue will be produced by the stated mileage, assuming the taxable value of the subdivision remains constant throughout the life of the levy, is calculated to be $280,000. And we will need a second.
I'll second it.
Dave Bench. Roll call, Alex Litton.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bill Miller.
Yes.
Resolution passed.
All signed. I just want to touch base on that real quick. I was kind of waiting for some information to come in, which the auditor certification was part of it, and some of what the roads cost. But I did reach out to Elvis Shepherd to ask him to assist me in putting together a trifold brochure for some levy information. And then Tim Tegemeyer, who actually owns a
printing
place, said that he would be willing to, they're going to look it over, and like whatever we put together, they're going to make it look perfect, and then we'll get it back, and it'll just be brochures for us to, information to have turned out too.
If you want to keep it here, I could put it together. My wife's really good with words. Mm-hmm. And she could do it right here, so we could just feed all the information here, and she could do that, and, and we don't have to go back and forth with Elvis.
Well, and we're gonna get the pictures. We're gonna get some pictures and pull some stuff. That's really what I was looking at for him, was like, hey, help me with the imaging to get it together, and then you know we'll explain, and then we can. That's fine. We can do that. It's just
I don't know if we need pictures. Just explaining how much the roads cost us and what this equipment cost us and stuff like that. I think that's enough. You can have too much stuff too.
Right. Well, if you want to have Cindy start on it.
Yeah. Well, I got Kevin's stuff. I can get that. But all of us can have some input on that.
Sure. Yeah.
And we'll just put it together.
I'm sorry. Sure. Yeah. Okay.
And we can always have Tim print it out. That's no problem.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We'll have to pay for it out of pocket though.
Yeah. I'm not worried about
the township money. Yeah. Yeah. That's fine with me.
Okay. Kevin's got big pockets.
Yeah.
They got holes in them.
Okay, so.
Out,
under the rec levy. Alright, kind of the same deal. This is resolution number two to put this on the ballot, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh,
well, the second in the process, right?
Yes.
Alright, so. Ready?
Robert's going to do it.
I'll read it off. So, resolution number 01142025-01, a resolution to place on the ballot the renewal of an existing tax in excess of the 10 mil limitation for parks and recreational purposes in Jerusalem Township. The Jerusalem Township Board of Trustees met at 7 p.m. for a regular meeting on January 14th, 2025, with the following members present: Alex Litton, Dave Bench, Bill Miller. Trustee Litton moved the adoption of the following resolution. Whereas the Jerusalem Township Board of Trustees has received the certification from the Lucas County Auditor pursuant to RC 5705.03, the amount of taxes which may be raised within the 10 mil limitation will be insufficient to provide an adequate amount for the necessary requirements of Jerusalem Township, Ohio. Therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Jerusalem Township, Lucas County, Ohio. Do you want me to skip to section two? Is that kind of what we're doing? All right, so the levy is at a rate of 0.75 mils for each $1 of taxable value, which amounts to $15 for each $100,000 of the county auditor's appraised value for a five-year period of time, and it is a renewal of an existing tax first voted on in 2020.
Go down to four, I guess.
Four?
Yeah.
The renewal of the existing levy will be placed on the 2025 tax list, first due in calendar year 2026, in compliance with Ohio Revised Code, section 5705.19, subsection H. The property tax revenue that will be produced by the stated millage, assuming the taxable value of the subdivision remains constant throughout the life of the levy, is calculated to be $49,000. Be it further resolved that the fiscal officer of Bruce Lynn Township is directed to immediately send a certified copy of this resolution to the Lucas County Board of Elections, along with the resolution of necessity and the certification from the Lucas County Auditor received pursuant to RC 5705.03, subsection B, section 2. On or before February 5th, 2025, by 4 p.m., and notify said Board of Elections to cause notice of the election on the question of levying said tax renewal to be given as required by law. Looking for a second.
I can second it.
Dave Bench, second. Roll call, Alex Lynn?
Yes.
Dave Bench?
Yes.
Bill Miller?
Yes.
Resolution passed.
There you go.
Thank you. That's that. Once I get a confirmation receipt that it's on the ballot, they'll send me the ballot language, and then it's a matter of time for the May election.
I gotta find my agenda at the bottom of this stack.
Did you get it?
Okay. I was going to say.
I got an old one. I didn't know you upgraded them.
One question, if I can.
Sure.
How do you guys want to proceed as far as with the solving? Over the last 5 years, pretty much the county has just solved within 100 foot of the stop sign, and didn't solve any of the other parts of the road. How far do you want to go with this? I typically, there's some of the smaller, real low volume, low speed roads down in Reno that I don't particularly salt the whole thing until maybe a day or two after the event. I'll run one time down it and burn it off. But to save salt, and where we're sitting with a levee down, how do you want to do it? You want to, you know, the bigger roads the county give us, the speeds are higher, but that's what they've approached it with over the last 5 years. I hate to follow in their footsteps because we're not going to mow like they did either, but it's actually going to be an upgrade for any of these roads that we got that they were presently mowing, because now we will be mowed back to the poles and not 4 foot off the edge of the road. It's...
I'd
where
say,
do we save money or don't we?
I'd say, Kevin, there's enough salt in there for 5 years, at least. And just use common sense like you always have did. I'd say.
I'm more on board with a conservative salting approach. But I'm fine with leaving that up to you because you know the science of it better than I do.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's better for him to...
I mean, I would say if it's too cold for the salt to work, don't throw it.
Yeah.
You know, but let's wait till it...
Yeah.
But we do have enough salt in there for 5 years.
Yeah, there is a lot in there. But
and
yeah.
A lot of times what I've done in the past is when we had weathermen that we could actually understand and trust, that when the storm's going to wind down and stop or show signs it's going to stop, then we'll start salting. And whether it's just at the intersections or the full length of the road, but what's works the best is wait for the sun to start to come up. If it's going to come out, it'll work 10 times faster. So, and it was just something I was thinking about here while you guys were talking about this, and I just wanted to know if you wanted to be a little more concerned. It's still safe, we're still protecting the intersections.
Yeah,
but they'd have to drive with due regard on the rest of the road, and it's a change for this area. It's like when you would drive into Ottawa County, and that's what I was really proud of this, that, you know, if you want to complain about my road, drive over here until you see the sign that says leaving Lucas County and tell me how the road is. And typically, most of our roads have always been, for the most part, even when the county was participating, we burned them off. But sometimes there's a lot of salt thrown on the road. We typically try not to, but until I can get these actually metered down to know what we're throwing for sure, it's a judgment watching out my mirror to see what's coming out to try to guess roughly where I'm at for hundreds of pounds that I'm putting per mile.
I would just, like Dave said, use your best judgment on the roads. I mean, definitely the intersections. My biggest fear that we're going to see is, because I get the phone calls, is, you know, you guys start at 7 o'clock in the morning, and if them roads aren't cleaned off by 6:30 in the morning, people are calling and complaining, and it's, you know, I don't know and some of these aren't even events, they're just, we got a half inch of snow overnight, just out of the blue.
Yep.
And the road, you know, the roads aren't plowed. Well, it's 7 o'clock by the time you guys get in here and get going. You know, they're delaying schools, or, you know, because of, you know, not maybe just because of Jerusalem Township, but.
No.
And then
we,
you got residents
calling.
We get
the blame for it.
Yeah.
Usually. It's.
But I guess we're gonna. I'd like to keep a closer eye on that to maybe, if, you know, I don't know how to. I hate calling you at 6 o'clock in the morning when I'm on my way to work and saying, "Hey, Kevin, it's the roads are shitty. You might want to get up," but, you know, that's what happens. I mean, they're...
Well, and we lost the sheriff. That was what the sheriff would do.
Right.
If you got that unusual event, you know, if obviously they're talking about tomorrow night that it's going to snow, we're going to get a significant snow, okay, when I get up, I'll keep an eye out and once it starts snowing, or we'll make a plan that, okay, we're coming in at 3 o'clock. But... anymore, just like today, the radars all showed clear, but we're friggin' still getting snowed on and pretty heavy.
Yeah.
So, no, Boothby, I don't need you checking every 5 minutes. Oh, whether it's snowing or not.
I'm scratching my head.
Yeah, I know. I thought you put your hand up.
No, oh, I got a. Don't, man. Sorry.
But, you know, back when I first started, that's what you did. You got up in the middle of the night and you check, okay, yeah, not snowing yet. You go back to bed, then you get back up. So, if you guys get up and see something in the middle of the night, call. Just see if we are up and out. If it's an unplanned thing that wasn't in the weather, because we don't know.
So. This is something we'll probably have to revisit in the future, because if we're getting stuck with more roads that we're now going to have to plow, maybe we're going to have to reach out to the residents and say, hey, things are going to change on the road. You're going to have to drive a little more cautiously, be a little more flexible with us because we have all these extra roads we have to deal with. Even though we have years of salt on hand, you know, if we've got extra roads to salt, do we? But we can revisit that topic.
Okay.
And you're going to buy the salt in 5 years.
Exactly. Yeah.
On top of the roads.
If the EPA will even let us put it down.
Well, good, that'll save us money.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing, too, this is another thing that was in my mind today when it came to the roads. And we're going to have to ask Panuski this, when they sprayed this last summer, was the smartest thing they ever did, when they sprayed the weeds around the guardrails. You know, is that something that, are we going to get that from them, or are we going to not get that from them? Because now... you know, they sprayed these roads that they now turned over to us. Are we going to have to come up with some type of spray to spray them?
Kevin, did you talk to the guys about that? I thought you did.
Because I thought that was the greatest idea ever when they started spraying them. I mean, I know it's putting chemicals down, but it's cheaper than running that mower.
Yeah, back in the old days, they had college guys with the sickles.
Yep.
Back in the 60s.
Maybe Navarre could farm out some of his prisoners to pay for his jail.
There you go, chain gang.
Yep.
All right. Okay, any other old business?
Nope.
All right, so on to new business. So the first item on new business here is we talked about this at a previous meeting, the grant, the OLEC Coastal and Shoreline Resilience Grant. That we're working with the Conservancy on, or basically the Conservancy put it together, and it's being passed through us to facilitate. They have not, the Conservancy and us, we haven't heard back yet if we're actually going to receive this grant. However, talking to Adam, he would sort of like to jumpstart the process, even though we haven't officially been selected to receive these funds yet. He would like to put out feelers and have us put out a request for qualifications to kind of get the ball rolling. If I understand it correctly, there isn't really a cost or any real exposure to doing this. It's just kind of putting feelers out there to see which engineering firms would be interested in bidding on this project. So I guess with your guys' permission, I want to follow up with Adam and I guess start that process. I think his goal for doing this too is it makes it a lot faster because, you know, you put things out, you have to wait, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks to get responses back, that sort of a thing.
6 months. So,
and I believe, if I recall correctly, the goal of these, or this funding agency likes things to be turned over in 12 months, which I don't think is possible, but they are a little flexible, so he's just trying to shave off some time there. So if you guys are good with that, I'll follow up with Adam, and then we'll just
sounds good to me.
Carry on.
And you are aware that we are going to be leaving Adam in the summer.
Oh, off of the Conservancy Board?
I did not know that. That is going to be a huge loss to the Conservancy Board.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because Adam has brought so much of that grant writing abilities to the
he's
Conservancy. And he his wife has that opportunity to retire, and she's retiring, and his term is coming up. So he said, now's a better time than ever to retire, and that's what he's doing. So we're hoping... or I'm hoping that they can at least find another engineer to maybe take that on, because
Pinwiski found him.
Yeah. They know a lot of ins and outs and how all the grants work, and, you know, this is the stuff they dabble in every day, so.
Yeah, I mean, this grant is in our name, but we take no credit for it.
Right.
He did all the work.
Yeah.
Can you go with me?
All right. So the next
thing. One thing I want to just make sure, so we never really financially committed to the grant. Remember we talked about, like, we were not sure about how payment was going to come, like, as the pass-through.
Right.
Right. So we still are not sure, even if we got the, if they got the grant awarded, and we're the pass-through agency, what that means for us. Is that right?
Yeah. And we're not, doing this request for qualifications, we're not signing any contracts or making any agreements. We're just basically seeing, like, hey, who's interested.
Yeah, you have to qualify the firm. Yeah.
Just want to make that in the meeting minutes.
Yep. Okay, second item on new business, the Lucas County Water Conservation District contribution.
We really don't have to have it. I whipped it out quick. I didn't know why I did it. It's under, it was $3,000, so Joel has it. He's going to make the check out and send it.
Okay. All right, so the other items, upcoming meetings. There's a Stormwater Coalition meeting later this week. I'm going to attend that. Kind of a little frustrated. The stormwater groups through TEMA COG have sort of split off, and they have multiple meetings a month. Like, from the beginning of January to the beginning of February, they have like five different stormwater meetings.
That's crazy. It's,
like, why? But whatever. I just try and hit the ones that
must
be,
money.
Be most pertinent to
it
us.
Must be money to talk about.
Something. But, yep, I'll be at that one. Also, there's a stakeholder meeting for the Toledo Raw Water Main Project pipe that's getting replaced. That meeting's on January 22nd.
I'll be there.
I'm going in person too.
They're actually gonna replace it, huh?
Yeah, they have to.
Yeah. I remember when you and I were there, but
if I understand it correctly, from what I've heard, is that was built during World War II, and there's like, they didn't have any welders because they were busy on the war effort, so they were flanged and actually bolted together.
They're bolted together, yeah.
So.
The bolts are all rotten.
Yeah.
They're just waiting for a catastrophe to happen.
And there's a feeder line that runs right along next to it, too. Remember he was telling about the smaller one?
One was built in the 50s.
Yeah. Mm. So there's a small line that runs next to the main
That way when they have to shut the main down, they can still get water.
Some water,
but...
It's going to be interesting to see how they're going to get through around the dump. Because they're going to get, you can't go through it anymore.
No.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. I'm glad we don't pay city water, because all them people that pay city water, like Bowling Green and all them,
you're going to keep going up.
You ain't going to be able to afford it. That's going to be like...
It's going to be an expensive problem.
Oh, yeah.
I'm mostly curious to see if they're going to replace it, and this goes through quite a bit of Jerusalem Township, to see what kind of impacts it's going to have on the residents with equipment going through yards and all that kind of stuff.
It's mostly through fields, you know. It's all through fields.
Yeah, 'cause it goes through like the two properties behind on Arquette and Cedar Point, like the backs of them. They didn't even know it was there.
Yeah, they didn't know it was there.
The right of ways there. Yeah. For them, you know, people on Arquette, on Cedar Point.
I've heard from a couple people on Arquette that are interested in hearing what's going on and what contractors are going to be doing the work and that sort of thing, because they've got some concerns. But I'll be there. Let's see, Regional Growth Partnership meeting, January 21st at 2 p.m. Is that something you're going to, Dave?
Yeah, I'm going to there.
Then we got the Ohio Township Association Winter Conference. That's from January 29th through 31st. I'm going to be going on Wednesday. I think I'm going Thursday and Friday. You guys going?
I'm going.
Okay, any other... new business? Anything else?
No, my big one's the road for mileage, and we seem like we're on the same page with that right now. So hopefully we'll have more to report on the next meeting.
If I get a meeting date, I'll let you guys know.
Yeah, because are we gonna have to? I wonder if that'll be here or downtown or down the commissioner.
Don't know.
All
I know is they're trying to get Panuski and Lisa together to get their schedules together.
Okay.
I could call you tomorrow, and she might have it tomorrow. You know, I don't have any. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess we're on to public participation. Bill Tang, what you got?
Back to Kevin's situation with the plowing and stuff. I know they got sleep and everything, but do you guys have any other qualified operators?
Yes, Kevin does have another guy with a CDL.
You get into adverse weather, you might want to keep the equipment rolling, let the two main guys sleep, but that way you're on top of the roads.
Yeah, that's how they usually, I know that in the past, I've come in here, especially on the fire department, Eric would be at home sleeping and Kevin would be running all night and then daytime. But now we've got the extra guy that can run for us too. So we do have three now. That's definitely a plus.
Yeah, because if one of the guys gets sick or something, then you're left hanging.
I know Dave, I think Dave, you've been out
you should,
in a truck plowing before, and I've been out plowing before in the middle of the night, to let them guys rest. So it's,
we don't have to. We don't have to have a CDL.
Right.
Just your small truck?
No, big truck. We can run them.
Oh, I'm happy to run the big truck because there's nobody else. So
it's already.
Air brakes and 26,000 and over, you've got to have a CDL.
We don't have to.
Yes, you do.
I don't. It's in. I've read it already, Bill, so. Yeah.
All right. Anybody else? All right, I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
I second that.
Okay, you on that one tonight.
Okay, roll call. Alex Litton.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Meeting adjourned 8:03 p.m.